We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson. It's my absolute pleasure to bring back on to the show Dr. Ralph LaGuardia. For those of you who've missed prior episodes, I am going to read his bio and make sure that you take time to tune in. If you're listening to this on a podcast, then make sure that you come over to the masteryourlife.ca website so you can watch the video version of this wonderful interview, because it most likely will not be on YouTube. It'll probably get censored off, because that's how we go. That's how things work. So Dr. LaGuardia Dr. LaGuardia has been a physician for 35 years, almost four decades, and he's the author of several books, three that we've talked about in prior interviews. One is Doomsday Book of Medicine. The second one is Infected, Secrets of the Medical Underground. The third is the Bible of Alternative Medicine. And in each one of those books, he helps people to be able to have cures for diseases or problems that they're having at home without necessarily having to go to the doctor. So thank you, Dr. LaGuardia, for coming back on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's dive right into what's going on with the COVID shenanigans fest. What kind of symptoms are you seeing people have? Just for the listeners at home who maybe haven't correlated some of the things that maybe they're experiencing or that their friends or loved ones are experiencing.
Well, you know, as I predicted several years ago when the pandemic started, everyone was screaming that the virus is going to mutate to more lethal. This is just the beginning. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I argued that, well, apparently you guys didn't study virology in medical school, because viruses never mutate to more lethal, simply because the virus wants market share, you know, so to speak. The virus doesn't, it wants new hosts. It doesn't want to kill you. It doesn't want to do anything else. All it wants to do is survive itself. You know, and so if you have viruses that are really deadly, like SARS-1 and MERS, which came out of the Middle East, they had 35-40% mortality. They went nowhere, because people became so sick, they went to bed right away and died. And so they weren't able to spread it. And so when COVID first came out, everyone was going crazy about it. And I said, well, it's going to probably mutate to more contagious, but less lethal. And that's exactly what's done. And every new wave of it. Yet the powers that be still scream, oh, this one's the big one. This one's going to be the one that's going to turn things around, make things worse. Everyone's going to die from this one. Nonsense. So right now it's become less lethal than the flu. It's nothing really. I've got patients don't even know they have it and test positive. You know, very few people are getting really sick from it. The hospitals are not inundated with people. We get wave after wave of these new variants, and they're more and more benign. Yet, incredibly, our governments keep doubling down on vaccinations when the mRNA vaccine is proven to be an existential threat to mankind and not a benefit to anyone. And consequently, as I was yelling about in the beginning, why are we doing this? We have no studies. The original studies on the mRNA vaccine were horrific. All the lab animals died. So what did our incredibly shrewd
governments die?
Everyone. Every experiment, 100% death of all the lab animals. So what did they do? They decided, the powers that be, that, okay, we'll skip the lab animal part. And they just got the vaccines, and we became the lab animals. Well, not me, because I didn't take it, but the people who took the vaccine did. And what we're seeing now is a consequence of that. You know, we were told initially that the spike protein that the vaccine produces would initiate antibody production in the body, and that would protect us. And that would be the end of it. It would never leave the site of your shoulder where they injected it. It would never affect your DNA. Well, that's all been a lie. It definitely affects our DNA. It goes through reverse polymerase as an enzyme the DNA reverse polymerase, which sends the messenger RNA vaccine into the nucleus and combines with the DNA of the nucleus. And that's not unusual for viruses to do, actually, believe it or not. Probably 20% of our genes are viral. So it's quite interesting. Over the years, we've co-evolved with viruses, you know, for centuries and centuries. And that might very well be the way that evolution occurs. Not so much as these spontaneous mutations that they talk about all the time, which always seem kind of weird. You know, okay, things spontaneously mutate, and here we go. But rather, a virus integrating itself into our genome and permanently becoming there, and sometimes conferring to us things that help us survive, and sometimes not. And in this case, it's a disaster. And consequently, we're seeing all the effects of that. A huge spike in cancer, a huge spike in myocarditis and heart-related problems, pulmonary emboli, DVTs in the leg, strokes, heart attacks, and these new turbo cancers. Have you heard of those?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these new turbo cancers are unbelievably aggressive. I believe just this week or the last 2 weeks, two or three, you know, world soccer stars died of it. They got testicular cancer, and 2 weeks later were dead. It's unbelievable.
And those are people who would be in the very best shape and have right. the best medical care on the planet because they're right. worth a fortune right. to treat those athletes.
Right.
So it's shocking to think that people are dying. I've also heard of the turbo cancers doing things like breaking bones.
All kinds of very odd things. Well, the metastases go so fast. It metastasizes. It seems to be no control over the metastases. And that's what kills most people. You know, testicular cancer itself is not going to kill you, but it's spread to your brain, you know, and your bones and everywhere else. And that's what's happening. And I just saw a girl yesterday in my practice, 2 days ago, a 32-year-old, end-stage cancer. They opened her up, her healthy girl, no problems, fully vaccinated, fully boosted, very much into it. And she had some abdominal pain, went down to the ER, came out of nowhere. They did a CAT scan of her abdomen and couldn't believe it. Cancer was everywhere. They opened her up and closed her and said, go home. That's it. And just told her, you know, they're going to try some radiation on her in chemo, but they were very pessimistic because it already metastasized to her liver, to her lungs, you know, to her adrenal glands. It was all over the place.
So with people like that, are you seeing there's like a recognition of the correlation between taking the vaccine and the boosters, or are people just thinking that it's kind of coming out of nowhere? Like, can they make a connection between?
They're not making a connection at all. And that's the fault of the physicians involved. The specialists who see them have these blinders on where never do they mention the vaccine. They mention everything else that might cause it, and they scratch their heads and say, well, we're confused. We're not sure why this young girl would get this, or why these men would get turbo cancers, why all of a sudden we're seeing cancer in high school athletes. Where is this coming from? We don't know. You know, they don't even bring it up. When I tell the patients, they look at me kind of odd. They go, well, how do you know that? I said, well, statistically, we see this all over the place. It's not me. I didn't create this. You know, I'm reporting to you and right. letting you know. And I see it in my practice. So I've lost 7 people in the last 2 weeks who died suddenly, you know, just found in bed with blood clots or whatever. They don't know what killed them. And, you know, the spouse looks over and they're dead. I saw one woman on a Wednesday. She died on Friday. She was fine on Wednesday.
You know, 7 people in 1 week. So what's that like over the span of your 35-year career? Is that, have you ever seen that?
No, never.
Never.
It's such an unusual thing. You always, there were freak things that happened. Yeah, you know, 1 a year, 2 a year, it's wow, he died or she died. I can't believe it. They seem to be okay. And you never, you know, unless they get an autopsy, which most don't do, unfortunately, you don't find out what it is. But lately, it's just been a rash of a lot of blood clots, a lot of strokes, a lot of heart attacks.
Yeah, so these are all things you can't see or feel, really, you know, so the... Right. We'll talk about the preventative stuff a little bit further on in the interview. But I want to back up a little bit about why people actually agreed to get these vaccines in the first place, because it's not just in, again, it's like people have this idea that it was just in their neighborhood. This is a global thing, like Canada, the US, the UK, right. Australia. Like
Thailand, all these crazy places, fully vaccinated in Thailand. They had no cases.
No cases. So this is all over the world. And right. so prior to the COVID pandemic, do you know what the definition of a pandemic actually changed at some point? And so therefore, that's how they could push through these vaccines, because right. prior to COVID happening, go figure, Sherlock. Right. Wonder how that happened. But really, it's terrible that to think. But there, that used to be that you'd have to have cases of
right.
the.
Yeah, you would have to have cases in multiple continents sweeping through. You know, it has to be a global event. It couldn't be a local thing. You know, one of the other things they're doing, which is very disturbing, is pilots are dying or being incapacitated in flight. And what they found was that there was a lot of EKG changes on these pilots. So the FAA, in their infinite wisdom, said, okay, we'll ignore that. We'll ignore EKG changes in pilots right now because too many of them have it and we don't know what to do. Once again, our government not protecting us, just burying their heads in the sand instead of helping us and saying, okay, this is a problem. We know what caused it. We forced the pilots to all get vaccinated, and now they're dropping like flies. School bus drivers, I think 9 of them died in the U.S. in the last month, driving buses. Kids grabbing the wheel and getting, you know, manhandling the bus to the curb and, you know, just incredible things.
I did see one of those. So there was 9?
9.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. No, I saw one. I only saw one. I don't watch the regular news very much, so that's probably why I didn't see it. But I absolutely, this pilot's dropping out of the sky. That's part of the reason. I know they say, like, we've been locked down. We can't fly unless you're vaccinated out of Canada, you know, to the U.S. Yeah.
Oh,
so they did open up the land border maybe yesterday, and maybe fly as of yesterday. So today's date is what, May the?
Today is the 12th.
12th, yeah. So May 11th, they did some changes, or maybe May 10th. But that's the first time in since 2020 that I've been able to drive across the border without anyone asking or flying. So I haven't been flying at all. And I had friends that work for the international airport in Calgary, and they said they wouldn't fly for at least the next 6 months because just the things that are happening. So even if you can fly, they said they wouldn't recommend it.
Well, it's compounded by this amazingly ridiculous diversity push. They're pushing diversity instead of competence, instead of merit for the air traffic controllers. They said they want more minorities and more women in there, but they're not training them very well. And now we're having these near air misses that are happening over and over again for jetliners because they're misdirecting them. You know, oops, made a mistake. Wrong runway. Turn around, go up 1,000 feet. There's a plane right below you, you know, just one after the other. It's going to end tragically eventually. But, you know, it's this perfect storm of all these things happening at once. The pilots, the air traffic controllers, the lack of staff from people calling in and being sick and everything else.
Yeah. And according to Edward Dowd, people just dying. You know, so the working age population was inoculated and boosted so they could continue to work. And they're dead. They're dead and dying and not showing up. So there is all these very complex, you know, things. And so listeners, again, it's not about getting people freaked out, but it's arming you with the information that you need to have in order to deal properly with yourself and with your loved ones. You know, so if you're mastering your life, it's actually looking at how do I prevent things? Oh, shoot, I didn't prevent that. Now, what am I going to do to actually try to prevent the onslaught of whatever, all the possible symptoms? It's really interesting, Dr. LaGuardia, that that people really want to wait until they have a symptom for something to do anything about it.
Right. It's human nature.
It's a very bad human nature.
Right. And ironically, but men are 10 times worse than women. Mm. You know, the men in my practice, by the time they come in, unless their wives force them in earlier, it's so hard for me to heal them because their cancers or their problems are so far advanced. They've been, you know, coughing up blood for 3 months and don't tell anyone, or keep passing out when they're in their workshop and don't mention it to anyone. And by the time I get my hands on them, I've got to reverse this disaster that's going on. Where women are much more proactive, you know, they like to do their thing and they're very good about it. A lot of them, with better patients, they come in. But even in my practice,
what's going on with people? Like, have we lost our love for ourselves in some, you know, fashion? Because self-love is kind of the start of actually looking at your health and your wealth. I mean, a lot of people are concerned about their wealth, you know, but if you don't have your health, then your wealth doesn't do you very much good.
Right.
You know, so the, like the falling out of love with your physical wellness, at least at some level, so that you would have the idea of self-preservation, because that's actually human nature.
Right.
Isn't it? It used to be.
Right.
Like you do anything to not die. That's our basic instinct, right?
You would think.
You would think. and again, it's like, and even if you've got to the point where, you know, maybe you've done some things that haven't been very self-loving, you know, whatever they are, it doesn't mean it's not, there's not an opportunity to have a comeback. That's also part of our human nature is going, how do I actually recover from this thing? And I can speak directly to that as somebody who was over 100 pounds overweight when I was 30 years old. And I, yes. Yeah. Wow.
I would have never guessed that.
I was like 240. Yeah. 240 something. 240 at plus. And I know it was the plus because they actually had to bring in extra staff for the birth of my daughter. Because I was at risk. I was just like, that is so sad. But it was the state of the nation until I went. There was lots of reasons for my overweightness. Being sexually abused when I was young. That, like, lots of reasons.
Happiness.
Yeah.
Lack of.
That's right. And just eating for comfort and eating for all of that. So
carbs make you feel great.
They do. They do.
People are, you know, I see a lot of obese people who are just depressed and feeding their depression.
Yes. And then joke about it too. You know, that
you're aware of it.
That's right. It's okay. But I had some glorious moment where there was a shaft of light that went down on me and said, you know, you can't continue this or your kids are going to suffer for it. And so it was just like an immediate, I remember the moment when I was looking at my kids going, you're never going to be able to get into the swimming pool with your kids. You're never going to be able to put a bathing suit on. People go, don't fat shame. It's not fat shaming. This is my story. If you're happy with your weight, right on. I was not, and went, this is not okay because I don't want my kids to be the brunt of things, you know? So I got,
what kind of example are you setting for them?
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. But my kids don't even remember me being overweight because they were so little when I lost.
Right.
Yeah. So most people who see me or meet me, you know, whatever, after 35 didn't know that I was overweight.
Yeah. Well, there's no, look at you now. You'd never guess.
No. Yes. And so I think that's possible for everybody because I don't think I'm an exception to the rule. I think that there are all of these opportunities to have your health come back. But we've got to take it and you've got to have enough self-love or connection to God that you go, I matter.
Right.
Like, my life matters. My existence here on this planet matters. And that it has to start with you.
Right.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I find that a lot of patients who are depressed have no religion in their life. You know, no God.
No God.
It's, you know, I'm in a touchy situation. I mention it to them a little bit here and there, but, you know, I can't really preach to them, but nor do they want to listen to me. But, you know, I also find that the depressed people are just out of touch with nature, at the very least, if not God. I tell them, it's a beautiful day. You're sitting inside watching TV. Are you kidding me? Get outside. This is a beautiful spring day. Breathe in that air. And I try to tell them that you have to enjoy the little things. Mm-hmm. The glass is half full, not half empty. Mm-hmm. You know, let go of the stuff you don't have. Marvel in the little things. Marvel in the flower you see outside, the birds singing, the sunshine coming on, that blue sky. Just walking outside puts me in a good mood because I enjoy the little things. I'm not waiting for it. $1 million check to come and hit me. You know, I'm enjoying life as it is. And I try to focus on the positive every day and I try to tell them that. I said, listen, you can turn this around. You got to get out there in the sun. You got to eat better. You got to get some exercise. And people are so isolated now. So you have to engage with people. You have to get out of your house, walk in the mall, talk to people, walk around. People are wonderful. Just talk to them. You know, and everyone's so isolated, especially the young kids. They're freaks on their computers and in their basements and online all day looking at their cell phones and not really engaging with people. And, you know, they're texting. It's not engaging with people. Having friends online is not a true friend that you can laugh with, you can cry with, you can, you know, share your inner secrets with and revel in happiness together. And they're missing all of that. And it's so sad.
Yes,
and I think that's leading to all the mental illness among young people. It's epidemic.
Yeah.
Depression, anxiety.
Every age group. I think that's the issue in every age group. And it was super amplified. Thank you so much for pointing that out over the COVID thing, because people were, you know, you could only have your cohort. I'm like, what kind of garbage is that?
Right.
garbage. And so now it's like the excuse also, though, to not reconnect yourself with other human beings is, well, you know, I got into this habit of being in the basement. Well, it's not good for you. So again, right. Well, how do you know that? Well, because you feel like crap, right? Yes.
Surprise, surprise.
Ask yourself a good question. Like, how do I feel? Like, really? Right. And if it's not good, like, even get a scale. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do I feel today? How would I like to feel?
Right. You
know? And the kids are, yeah, absolutely. Between living in, I live in Canada, so the winter here is really long sometimes, so kids don't actually get outside much. If they don't have parents, they're outdoor parents. Right. And so that whole thing just adds to it. And as senior citizens get into the senior years, they also kind of get in the house, and then it's hard to get them out. So it's like, try to really get yourself out and maybe take somebody else for a walk. Spend time with people that you know, or spend time with people that you don't know. But online is not the same thing as in person.
Loneliness is an epidemic.
Yes.
That's not saying it lightly.
It's the truth.
Yeah. People are just lonely as lonely could be, you know, and they just, and there's all this depression, all this drug use is from it. You know, I start off every day praying in the morning for about 10 minutes. Right. And I always end with, miracles shall follow miracle today, and wonders shall never cease. And I go, okay, God, rain it down on me. I'm waiting for your blessings today. I know it's going to be a great day for the two of us. You know, and I just go waiting for good things to happen. Yeah. And it's that affirmations work. You know, good things happen.
We do, that's different than an affirmation, because it's actually acknowledging that you have a connection to God.
Yeah.
And again, to your point, it's not even a religious thing. It's just a God. It can be a practice of understanding that you're not alone.
Right.
Like, what do you think you came from?
Dirt. Right. right. Yeah,
you're a special blessing here on this planet. And I don't talk about religion or God much on the show. It's been on for 7 years now, this Master of Life show. But I assumed that everybody knew that I believed in God. So I don't talk about it. But it's like, I think the absence of talking about God, Christ, like the Christ consciousness, how you actually have those, the fruits of the spirit, that they're important in your life, that people look at you like you're just like, what? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Right.
But we've lost that sort of foundational piece, because it's now you're not supposed to talk about any of that. You know, it got ripped out of schools when you couldn't, you know, pray in school anymore. It just really has eroded faith, and faith and hope are some of people's best friends.
Right.
Life is tough. We've all got stuff that just is not awesome. Like, you were sharing some stuff prior to us recording. Right. I was like, oh man, that's just so yucky and awful. And so many people have really got heartbreaking things.
Right.
But the heart.
But I never blame God for it.
No.
In fact, I said, you know, that's, I'm not doing that. It's nothing to do with God, you know? And so I tried not to lose my faith. In fact, if anything, it made my faith stronger. So it was good. But even this morning, after I prayed, I went outside, do my push-ups. I go outside and going to work. I walk out the door, and there's a yellow finch right on the railing looking at me, 3 feet from me, not afraid of me, looking at me. And I said, oh, God, that's a great way to start my day. Thank you. You know, so all the strawberries in this little strawberry patch I have all flowering. I said, oh, this is great. This air smells sweet with plants flowering. I thought, oh, what a great day. You know?
It's beautiful just noticing the little things, right?
Yeah, it makes you happy, you know.
And that's all great. Free.
Right. It's all around you. It's great stuff.
Yes.
You know, you ignore it at your own peril.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even in the dead of winter, there's things that are beautiful. And, yeah, right. Exactly. You can find stuff in anything to be grateful for, or to notice and reveling in things.
Right.
Things. So we'll switch gears a little bit, because I want to talk about your upcoming book.
Yeah.
And I think that with the COVID shenanigans and people just being sick with all kinds of stuff, from lifestyle choices and things being sprayed in the air that maybe people, you know, have been inhaling for quite a number of years, or not eating good organic food, you know, so there's lots of ways that poisons have gotten into our human body. And, you know, that whole, how do we start taking back our health and well-being?
Well, we're unfortunately a toxic soup right now, between environmental stuff, even small things like plastic. microplastics or what's happening with people drinking out of plastic bottles and plastic cups, thinking it's safe. I've abandoned that about 6 months ago. I try to go to glass for everything because of little micro particles of plastic accumulating, crossing the blood-brain barrier, all kinds of crazy stuff. But getting back to COVID, there, you know, people are vaccinated and we can't undo it, you know, but we can fix it. And my new book is Long Haul COVID, Secrets from the Medical Underground. And I'm kind of excerpting it. I have a Substack page called Medical Underground at Substack. And on that, I've been excerpting parts of the book, publishing small sections of it there. But there is hope because the Medical Underground, people who have not accepted this paradigm and the dogma that we've been told by the medical authorities, there's a significant number of practitioners who have maintained their integrity and are not bought into this pharmaceutical, you know, government alliance where we're told everything and we just have to be like sheep and fold over and accept it. And they've done some great research, and there's a lot of guys on Substack publishing great stuff. And there are ways. Now, there's different things that happen. The first thing is we have to recognize the toxicity of the spike protein. Mm-hmm. That protein produced by the vaccine goes and attacks all the endothelium, which is all the lining of the blood vessel throughout the whole body. And that in itself leads to clotting and heart problems and all these blood clots we're seeing and stuff, strokes, heart attacks, pulmonary emboli, DVT, blood clots in the legs and stuff. And but there's ways around it. There are things called fibrinolytic enzymes that are natural and are really good. They're really harmless and they're cheap and they're easy to get. And I've been putting tons of people on them because what I do in my practice is I did this during the beginning of COVID. I started checking D-dimer levels. A D-dimer is a product of clotting. And I found a 62% positive rate among vaccinated people. And I brought it to the powers that be, and they tried to shut me down, blame me for it, you know, and just kill the messenger.
Yes.
And, yeah. And that level has maintained itself, and the people are clotting. And so there are four fibrinolytic enzymes that are currently available that are pretty good. There's ceratopeptidase, which is made from, it's what a silkworm releases to eat its way out of the cocoon. And so I love that because I love mulberries. I love everything related to mulberries. Mm-hmm. But there's that. Then there's a natokinase, which is made from natto, which is a fermented soybean dish that Japanese eat. There's a bacteria in there that creates this enzyme that dissolves clots also. And there's another one called lumbrokinase, which is made from earthworms. Lumbrokinase is part of traditional Chinese medicine. They've been using it for centuries for blood clots and stuff. But it really, it's 30 times more powerful than natokinase and 300 times more powerful than ceratopeptidase. But all three are good. Most of the studies done recently have been on natokinase. And there's not very few on lumbrokinase, which is a lot more expensive due to the source of it.
And so where can people get those? But they come.
They're available online anywhere. You know, they're no prescription needed. It's and you know, people are always worried. Oh, it's going to cause bleeding, which it doesn't, because unlike Coumadin or Xarelto or Eliquis or any of the other drugs we use, they affect the clotting cascade. This does not. It only affects the end product of that cascade, which is fibrin, and so it dissolves fibrin.
And which is what we're seeing in the clots.
Right. That's what clots are, fibrin with blood stuck on it, you know. And so then these clots are huge. And they also, people with the vaccines are developing amyloidosis, which is this unusual protein that cannot be digested. And that breaks down, that gets deposited in all the organs and causes organ failures and all kinds of problems. But I'll explain that in a minute, how that's relevant. But and there's a fourth one called bromelain, which is made from pineapples. That helps. It's not as strong against the fibrin as the other ones. But I put a lot of people on lumbrokinase. I had a good friend of mine, a patient who his daughter was sick, and the only way they would allow him to see her in the hospital was to be vaccinated. So he reluctantly did it. And when I checked his D-dimer, he was 75 times normal. He was virtually on the edge of a stroke or a heart attack, you know, and he felt sluggish. He's a tall guy. He's actually an archaeologist. Great shape, does field work all the time. And he said, Ralph, man, I just don't feel right. You know, I feel tired all the time. My muscles ache and stuff. I put him on lumbrokinase. It cleared it all up. His D-dimer dropped down to normal. He has no bruising or bleeding with it. The only side effect is if you cut yourself, it'll prevent the clot from forming on there. So you'll have to apply pressure to it and stuff and go off it for a couple of days if you have an active cut. But other than that, it doesn't cause bleeding. You know, everyone, oh, no, doctors are afraid of it. It's going to cause bleeding. And it doesn't, because it affects the end product, not the cascade.
Okay.
You know, and so there are things you could do. Bromelain is interesting stuff. There's a company in Australia, I think it's called Bromac. It's bromelain with N-acetylcysteine. You know, N-acetylcysteine is the precursor to glutathione. And so it's glutathione is hard to take orally. It's hard to get. And they have it through suppositories now, and they have liposomal versions of it. But glutathione is the master antioxidant for the body. Mm-hmm. It's without glutathione, you can't be in good health. It's also part of an antioxidant cascade where vitamin C regenerates glutathione and vice versa. And that's on the water soluble side. On the fat soluble side, vitamin D and coenzyme Q10 regenerate each other. And the alpha lipoic acid, it both fat and water soluble, regenerates both of those. So it's great. And so it winds up, if you use alpha lipoic acid, you can regenerate glutathione, but NAC works great for it. And you could even inhale NAC if you could put it in a nebulizer and take it that way. But NAC just dissolves the clot, the spike protein. And so the bromelain gets rid of the clot, NAC gets rid of the spike protein, dissolves it. So it's good together.
Kind of the 1-2 punch.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I've been trying to explain it to people because people really don't understand virology very well, and again, it seems very nebulous to them. And they think that you can get a urinary tract infection from a flu virus, you know, and you can't, because of a thing called viral tropism. The viruses only infect certain cells. Respiratory viruses only infect respiratory cells. So there's no way you can get a urinary tract infection or a skin infection or anything else from it other than respiratory stuff. And so once you understand viral tropism, then it limits a lot of things. And you can use that against the virus and block it certain ways. Like not knowing what they were doing, they did it during the 1918 flu epidemic. At the time, you know, they didn't know much about virology. They didn't know anything about virology. But they realized that if they painted betadine on masks or even put it in the nostrils of patients, they were preventing the flu. And what they were doing was they were stopping the virus from entering respiratory cells. They were blocking it there, and it does work. And so betadine works very well. Iodine works very well. We still use it in hospitals because there is no resistance to it. It kills everything, viruses, bacteria, funguses, everything. So it's still very useful to have. And so I told patients initially to make a weak solution of betadine diluted with water, actually saline, and use a nebulizer. Either take it that way or take like a turkey baster and just squirt it up your nose a couple times a day just to flush out your nose and kill the virus before it gets in there. And that works great.
There's this really amped up fear thing about everything going to kill people. And I, you know, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you. And what I think too, is we're so disconnected from God that we forgot that we do die. We die.
It's okay.
We're so freaked out by the idea that we're going to die. So you need to ask yourself, why are you so afraid of that? And really, why are you so afraid of that? And then because the ends to which people went to make sure that they didn't get anybody sick. And on the other end of things, people are so sick from not just the vaccine, but also from being alone and being isolated from other people. Oh, yeah. So we've got this whole other bunch of stuff. And there'll be another virus coming that the media is going to tell you is going to be horrible, and watch out and don't see your grandkids and don't go visit grandma. That's going to happen.
And we have to close the churches. Don't forget.
Got to close the churches, got to close the stores, except if you're a big store that's owned by somebody that's...
Or a pot clinic or a liquor store, we'll leave them open.
We have to close the churches. The pot clinic, I love that. It's a pot. It is, that's right. It went from being, you know, nobody would be caught dead with marijuana that wanted to have any kind of reputation. And now it's right. Like everyone's selling that.
Right.
Beep, like it's...
Right.
Yeah. Let us talk about the other symptoms that people are having. We've talked about the blood clotting and some of that. What about things that are going on with people's neurology? Because this thing did actually cross the blood-brain barrier. What things are we seeing and how do we change that?
Because it's
not a supplement, a different thing.
Yeah, one of the first things you'll see is people complain of tinnitus, ringing in their ears. That's one of the first signs, you know, of neurological involvement. A lot of them will develop fatigue. A lot of them develop vision problems, hearing problems, pins and needles feeling in their arms and legs, paresthesias called medically. And then a lot of it progresses to strokes and TIAs, a little TIAs like a mini stroke, a transient ischemic attack. But we're seeing a huge spike in that. And once again, that's leading to clots as well in the central nervous system. And the cancer rate, the stroke rate, the heart attack rate is spiking off the wall, and the death rate is spiking. Eventually, the powers that be won't be able to suppress it because people are starting to notice. I mean, the most recent booster, I think, had a 14% rate in the United States. No one wanted it, you know, because either they had COVID several times after being fully vaccinated or they were sick from it. And, you know, long-haul COVID is an epidemic. It's just not recognized. We have no test for it. So it's symptoms, you know, fatigue, tinnitus, muscle aches, shortness of breath, chest pain, all kinds of odd things together. And the key thing that patients will say to me is, Doc, I haven't felt the same since I had COVID. I just never got over it. I'm weak. I'm short of breath. I can't walk very far, you know, and everyone tells me I'm okay. You know, and you're not. And then when I do the D-dimers and other tests, I can quantitate it and show them what's going on. But when that realization comes, that hopefully the powers that be will pay for this. People like Fauci, who's lied to us all along, and these other fools. You know, when we just found out recently that all of this you know, revolving door from the FDA and these other government agencies right to Big Pharma, and Big Pharma was directly paying. Moderna paid a couple hundred million to the doctors and the researchers involved. Of course, they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to
hustle on anything. No.
Right. They're getting paid millions of dollars. They're not going to tell you it's not safe.
Yeah.
And that's why they've included it in the child vaccine schedule now, which is unbelievably.
Yeah. Sad. Let's talk about, because that is the same in Canada. They're really pushing childhood vaccines.
Right. When no one dies from COVID, children just don't die from COVID. You know, they'll say, oh, can't eventually. The only people that die from COVID are children who have end-stage asthma or cystic fibrosis are so sick already that they die. Unfortunately, they die. I don't want to be flip about it, but they die all the time anyway.
Right.
You know, it's difficult to save them anyway. You had a respiratory tract infection. It doesn't mean that COVID's deadly for children.
Right.
You know, it's not at all. And adding it, I don't know where the pediatricians are. You know, why aren't they standing up and saying, no, we're not doing this. This is stupid. First of all, we're over-vaccinating everyone to the wazoo. There's way too many vaccines. You know, for a while there in the United States, I don't know about Canada, but there were parties and people realized that herd immunity is better. So one kid got chickenpox. Everyone come over. Rather than get the vaccine, you get the chickenpox.
We certainly did that as young people and as parents. Like, yeah. I remember that.
Right. That was a smart way to do it.
That's right. Everyone just get together and get the chicken pox and the mumps and whatever else was going around.
And natural immunity is much more durable than anything from a vaccine. The idea is Robert Kennedy is running now for president in the U.S. He's a fairly anti-vaccine. And he's come out really against it. And rightly so. He's done some good stuff. Now they're trying to destroy him. They're hitting him, trying to get his reputation, and they're isolating him, and they're calling him a conspiracy theorist, and just making everyone try to hate him, which is so sad. Why can't we have the conversation? Why can't we have an open debate about it?
Right. What happened that we could?
Right.
You used to be able to have open conversations about things, and everyone didn't need to be right.
Right. You learn from it. You know, okay, maybe I'm wrong about that. Okay, well, you got a good point. I'll listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the old scientific method. Show me. But it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone along. I was just thinking about when I was growing up, and there'd be like out in the schoolyard, the boys would have a fight, you know, like a physical punch each other out, or, you know, the big whatever argument that, and then they would still be friends 5 seconds later.
Right. You know? I think one of the big, in the United States, one of the biggest mistakes they made when I was young, there was an hour of gym every morning. Early in the morning, we would do calisthenics, play ball, you know, push-ups, jumping jacks, climb the ropes, and it was fun. We loved it. Yeah. And I'm sure half of us had ADD, but we burned up that energy, and then we sat down, we're fine.
Yes.
And then they got rid of it.
You know, that's interesting that you bring that up, too, because there is no such thing, according to many people who have psychology backgrounds as and who are reputable as ADHD or ADD, that it's all been a big fiction because, again, it's like a pharmaceutical.
So
we can medicate the parents, medicate the kids. Now adults think they have all kinds of stuff that they don't have. You just have to actually grow up and realize life is hard. And you know, and your kids are fine. Actually, your kids are probably excellent and they shouldn't be medicated. They should be allowed to run and play and
allowed to be boys.
And girls to be girls, you know, so that let them run and play and burn off the energy. Right. And they maybe can't sit still in a desk for 6 hours. That's completely possible. But we have these weird expectations. And if people don't conform, it's then we're going to medicate you. That's the answer to everything. Right. Every lazy thing is let's medicate it. It's like the easiest thing to do is lay some more medication on it. Whether that's self-medicating through food or alcohol or drugs or whatever it is. And there's lots more things, which we don't need to mention, but there's all that self-medicating. Mm-hmm. And then you want your troubled children who actually have some energy and zeal yet instilled from God, their God-given energy, and you want to wash it in them because it's annoying and hard.
And if a little girl's a tomboy, she don't convince her she's a boy.
Yes, she's a
Tomboy. She's enjoying it. So we always had tomboys. Big deal. You know, that's great. They were always fun girls. My wife was a big tomboy when she was young. Trust me. She does have no gender dysphoria.
No. And I think I was probably a bit of a tomboy on the farm. Yes, a bit doing farm girl things and wore all the hats, but all woman, 100%.
Right.
You know, so, yes. And so
leave the kids alone.
Yes, leave the kids
hands off our kids. Let them just enjoy themselves. Stop this nonsense. Don't teach them critical race shit.
Let's talk about it because there is a reason why anyone who's doing these vaccines is doing it. And it's because there's money at the end of the line.
Right. Follow the money and you know exactly why it's done.
Yes.
I mean, why would you ever vaccinate children for this when there's zero deaths from it? Zero. You know, they're not at risk. Even college age kids are not at risk. Mm-hmm. None of them die from it. Why are we pushing it on them?
Yeah, so a lot of people, good writers, good doctors, are on Substack writing about these kinds of things. So your articles are some of that content. Dr. William Mackus is another one who writes a good bunch of
articles. He's excellent.
Yeah, very excellent. Right. So just capturing
Peter McCullough. There's a lot of them.
Wonderful. Also, so check out Substack for those of you who want to do a little bit more research, and then
it's uncensored.
Yes,
it's like Rumble. It's uncensored.
It's uncensored.
Which is crazy. We even have to say that.
Yeah.
What happened? When did we?
Just a few years ago. Like just a few years ago, you could say anything on anything.
Right.
And if people didn't like you, they just turned you off and didn't watch.
Right. They didn't threaten to kill you.
You just went, okay, well, they're not for me and that's all right. Like, but nobody took it personally. It's very weird that we can't.
Things have changed. I've lost some friends from college and stuff who are liberal and just. I haven't. They've disconnected with me. I mean, you know, I'm liberal. Fine. That's your opinion. I'm okay with it. But they just hated me for my opinion.
Right.
Old friends. You know, thinking, God.
So why did that get personal?
Yeah. I didn't even know what their politics were before we were young. I had no idea what they were.
Yes. Yeah. So why did it get personal? And I know this is kind of waxing the philosophical, but I didn't realize actually that there was an act of hate for Christ. So that's a very weird thing when you think, well, people can have their own opinions and we all do, and that's great. But I thought everyone kind of generally got along in the world and nobody needs to believe what I believe. That's all good. Okay.
Right. Right.
But lots of the other people who don't believe in Christ actively hate Jesus. Like there's an act of hate and you go, that's completely different than just not being interested in something.
Right. What could you have against them?
Why? If it doesn't matter to you, why would you actively hate?
Right. This? Always promoting his love.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesus, you're against love. Yes, it's it's crazy. You know, but, I mean, there's a persecution of Christians worldwide. I mean, all through Africa, Christian women are being raped by Muslims constantly to try to just wipe out their genes out of the population and stuff, and, you know, kidnapping them and killing them. It doesn't even make the news. There's no interest in it. Church bombings doesn't make the news. No. There's no interest in any of that. You know, it's bad.
It is bad. And again, it's for us to do our own research. But I was blown away by the act of hate. You know, it's one thing to just disregard people, but to actively hate them and to go, I don't want to talk to you because I actively hate you.
Right.
Like, what? There's a big difference between dislike and I disagree versus I hate.
Right.
So that's a completely different spectrum. I think that's why we're being censored, is that it's anything that's to do with compassion, self-healing, self-love, love other people.
Self-empowering.
Self-empowerment. Yeah. Then we can't have any of that. And that, taking your life in your own hands and your health in your own hands and being connected with other people, but you need to be the one to do that, you know, on the TV and kind of watch everything filter into you and stuff that you know is not good. And know that you can be, if you've been doing that, there's as soon as you decide you're going to do something else, you can.
Right.
So you can.
You know, if they censor you, you're over the target. I take it as a badge of honor. So you should be happy that YouTube is censoring you other than for other reasons. Then you know you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Because why else would they censor you? They're afraid of the truth. Why? If you weren't telling the truth, they wouldn't bother you at all. But the fact that you're telling the truth, they can't handle it. And that's why they censor you.
Yep,
shut up, Leah. Shut up, Leah.
Oh, no. Shut her up. There she is again. She just keeps on talking and talking. But, you know, it's like we're trying to be, the intention of all the shows has really been for people to have the insight to master their own life and find it inspiring, you know, to master your life. So having tools to do that's important.
What greater thing than providing for the public than a chance to improve their life in a variety of categories?
Yeah.
And how could you be against that? Well, who would be against that in their right mind?
Yeah, I guess just people who want to make money from people being dependent on them.
Yeah.
That's really it. That's kind of the bottom line for it. So let's talk about the release of your book. We've got a couple more minutes. So, so Long Haul COVID.
Secrets of the Medical Underground is my subtitle. It's the second in that series, a book on Secrets of the Medical Underground. Yeah, it's probably come out in the fall. Finishing it, you know, as I was telling you earlier, my gardening interferes with it during the summer, but should be good. I'm going to teach patients all the different ways. It's not hopeless. There's plenty of hope. We can reverse these problems, but you have to be really vigilant and you have to be proactive and you have to purify your body and your mind because they go together. You know, you have to, I would advise patients to grow their own food, you know, meditate. You know, exercise, get outside in the sun, in the fresh air, take supplements that'll help you. And then take these various things that I'll teach them in the book. Fibrinolytic enzymes are one. There's a whole bunch of things. Curcumin, bromelain, turmeric. There's a whole bunch of different things that I'll go to outline chapter by chapter because I'm going to show, first of all, attack the spike protein, then attack the receptor. There's things that what happens is proteins are folded up a certain way. That's what gives them their configuration, gives them their function. It's all part of the same thing because it's a lock and key mechanism. So there's certain things methylene blue that is great for you, and it changes the folding of the protein on the outside of the coronavirus, and so the spike gets changed, and so it can't fit into the SARS receptor in the endothelium. So we have ways of blocking it. And so I'm going to teach patients in my book all the different levels you can hit it at. Stopping the fibrin, stopping the connection to the cell, boosting the immune system, clearing the blood of clots, and all these different ways to do it. And the research is getting stronger and stronger supporting that. And like I said, all over Substack, there's writers talking about it. Fabulous guys doing research on their own and, you know, and so the public should support them because, you know, these are the guys that are telling you the truth. They've got no interest in it other than helping you. They're not beholden to the pharmaceutical companies. They're not working for any big powers that be. They're not associated with government agencies. And that's the reason why they're so hated and so vilified by the powers that be, and the reason that they try to censor them, because they're telling you ways to help yourself and not be weak and have to rely on the government for everything.
Right. And so for people who want to get your book, we're going to have you on again, kind of maybe in September when you're launching, but make sure you stay tuned to the masteryourlife.ca website that you can catch all of the episodes with Dr. LaGuardia. There's also the Rumble channel, because again, we won't be on YouTube with this, which is Master Your Life CA. And also if you come onto the website, there'll be show notes there, which just talk about the recommended supplements and how you can get a hold of Dr. LaGuardia's other three books, which are magnifique. Yep. And so make sure that you actually have your library amped up with this great reading material. I just want to share.
I love when you speak French.
That's all I got. I just have to share this little thing as we leave the show. I gave my sister Dr. LaGuardia's book for her birthday, May 1st. And she opened the book and she was just like, And she's pretty quiet. My lovely younger sister, but she's very much into organic farming, and she loves like all the things that naturally grow at their place. So she already harvests things like dandelions and sage. The book, when she opened the book, she's going, "Oh, he's talking about," and then she's like rambles off this big long line of stuff, and I'm just looking at her going, "This is what like I, she's brilliant." And I'm just going, so brilliant, but to see somebody so lit up.
Great.
Taking this empowering information that's in that Bible of Alternative Medicine. Yeah. She said it's spring lambing time. And she said, "I shouldn't be reading anything, but I cannot not read it. I have to read it."
I appreciate that.
Thank you, because you sent that to me as a gift. That was such a beautiful gift. So thank you so much, Dr.
McCormick.
And thank you so much for being my guest again on the show.
My pleasure.
Everybody.
If anyone wants to follow me, medicalunderground at substack.com.
Medicalunderground@substack.com. Beautiful. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.